This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, September 3, 2023, the 13th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Be not conformed to this world. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Those who are attentive to the book of Romans, the entire letter of St. Paul is broken up into two parts. The first 11 chapters speak of doctrine. They speak of the I's to be dotted and the T's to be crossed, all those rules, which are a good thing and absolutely necessary. Romans chapter 12 starts a completely different thought, line of thought, up from St. Paul. He starts talking about Christian morality. And the first things that he says about Christian morality is that the foundation is, be not conformed to this world. I cannot emphasize enough that the Holy Spirit says that this is the foundation of Christian morality, not being conformed to this world. We live in very dangerous times. Very dangerous times when you take into consideration what the Holy Spirit demands of us and not being conformed to this world, because we hear words from within our own church, from high places, that are synonymous with conformity. I mean, not because I say, because you look it up in the dictionary, synonyms for conformity. And you read words like adapting. How many times have you heard, the church needs to adapt. Church needs to adapt for the people of the 21st century. That's conformity. The church needs to meet people where they are. That's conformity. We are called people out from where they are and have them come to the church. Convicting them that where they are is not the proper place to be. To meet them as conformity, to accompany. Well, we are supposed to accompany the sinners. Yes, we are, into the church. Not accompany them where they are, because they're on the broad road that leads to destruction, and we're not supposed to do that. That's conformity. And then, of course, there is the word adjust. We have to adjust things in the church, because people don't use that kind of language. People just don't like organs anymore. They like guitars and they like drums. They like, that's right. People like it. And it's conformity to change the way we do things in the church to make it look more like the world. Every one of those words and many others are conformity. And the Holy Spirit says, foundationally, for our Christian morality, be not conformed to this world. Again, very dangerous times in which we live. Because conformity, you know, this is not a matter, and this is where it's dangerous. There are some things, we don't do that, the world does. We don't use like bad language. We wear pentagram t-shirts and things like that. We don't do things like that. We've got to be careful of conformity that is nothing less than satanic. And what I mean by Satan, we know from Scripture, his description, that he is more subtle than any beast of the field, that he disguises himself as an angel of light. He makes things look good, and they're not. They're evil. The gospel today is a prime example of the subtlety of Satan. Last week, the gospel reading, St. Peter's confession of our Lord. Who do you say that I am? You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I am the sent one. I am the eternal Son of God. That's who I am, Peter. Good job. Not because you figured this out on your own, not because I told you, but it is obvious that the Father in heaven has opened your eyes. It's by divine revelation. So, I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then he said, and now I have to go to Jerusalem, and I have to be mistreated by the scribes, the Pharisees, and be killed and raised the third day. And Peter does this. Out of the purest of motives of the human heart, St. Peter, first thing he does, he takes Jesus aside. Because of course, he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. And if you want to be so bold as to rebuke him, you're not going to do it in front of everybody else. So he's tactful about this whole thing. He brings our Lord Jesus Christ aside. Oh, God forbid this would happen to you. I've just confessed you as the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you said, you agreed with that. You agreed with that, Lord. This can't happen to you. You can't kill the Christ, the Son of the living God. Can't do it. Because he loves our Lord so much. This human affection that he has for our Lord. Hey, the way I just described it is exactly what Peter meant when he did this. It was because of the love of our Lord that he did that. He was being charitable to our Lord. And what is our Lord's response? Thank you, Peter, for loving me so much. Thank you, Peter. You just don't really quite get what I have to do. Get ye behind me, Satan. That kind of harsh. He loves you. The motives of what he said came from his human heart, his human affections, his human prudence in bringing our Lord aside. It was not divinely inspired as his confession was. If you know, his confession was divinely inspired because our Lord Jesus says, he lets us know that the Father in heaven revealed this to him, but here he lets us know that as much as you love me and as much as you don't want that to happen, what you just said is satanic. Why? Because Satan's doing everything he possibly can to keep our Lord from being crucified. Because if he doesn't get crucified, we don't get to go to heaven. Nobody gets to go to heaven. It's satanic. The motives were pure. The motives were human affection. They were not divinely inspired. Our Lord has communicated to us truths that are divinely inspired. We must embrace those truths. We must, as his body in this world, present those truths to people. Unadulterated. Unadulterated. Plainly. And they're not going to like it. You know, first we got to look at ourselves. It's hard to do that. It is extremely hard, and that's an understatement, to present truths that go contrary to what the world believes. It's not a matter that they don't mesh. It's a matter that they don't fit at all. They are contradictory. They're antithetical to the world, which the Holy Spirit says we are not to conform. It's difficult. This is why St. Paul says under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you need to offer yourself as a living sacrifice. I always like that. You know, Jesus came and lightened things up. You know what? The Old Testament, you know what the sacrifice consisted of? Hey, grab a lamb and take it over to the temple and kill it. Well, actually, you didn't get to kill it. They had to do it. Then bring a lamb over to the temple and give it to them and they'll kill it. And then you're cool till next year when you got to bring another lamb and they'll kill that. Yeah, it's a piece of real property that you have that you don't have anymore and anything. It's a sacrifice. It's overdone with. Jesus comes and says, oh, heck no. That was just a foreshadow of something. Because now that I'm here and I've done what I've done for you, and now I demand the sacrifice to be you. I demand that you are a living sacrifice. When he said that you be a sacrifice, if he just said be a sacrifice, then all of a sudden it would be, well, okay, sometimes I do this and sometimes I do that. No, a living sacrifice all the time, every day. But what do to be a sacrifice every day? Some of the most mundane things we do every day are tremendously sacrificial. St. John Chrysostom points out, too, when he's speaking about being a living sacrifice, you know the two things he points out? And nobody's got the market cornered on this, but the first one, custody of the eyes. Men, boys, guys, listen up, okay, because you're much more visual than women are. This is why men have a lot of problems with looking at the stuff that they shouldn't. St. Jose Maria Escriva says that you can talk about disciplines, hair shirts, cilices, fastings, vigils. You can name all kind of corporal penance. He said, for a man, the most penitential thing you can do to a man is to tell him to tear his eyes off something he wants to look at. And believe you me, who sit in a confessional and sit in my office, that's real. And the fact that I'm one, I know the deal. Every moment of every day, we are presented with opportunities to look at things that we can't. And you get, oh, yep, got that cuss of the eyes. I got that down. Let us move on. Work on something else. Oh, heck no. Every new billboard, every new pop-up ad on the internet, every commercial, you're trying to watch football, and every commercial that comes up, okay, not to mention what goes on the sidelines on football, you know, all those things, got to keep custody of your eyes. That's a living sacrifice. Okay, now that I've said that, and it's not me, it's St. John Chrysostom, and now that I've got the women looking at the guys sitting next to him and getting the elbows and things, the next one he says is the tongue. Got to shift things over a little bit. The tongue. You talk about something that's a penance. Our nature. I've got to say what I know about that. I've got to let somebody, I'm going to explode if I don't say something about it. Blah, blah, talk, talk, talk. St. James, no human being can tame it. You're a living sacrifice. Keep your mouth shut. I mean, our human nature, we like to talk about stuff. Oh, believe you me, I'm confronted all the time with people who talk about something they know nothing about. Not one thing. You tell me what you think about something and you know nothing. You know nothing. And the internet's made it even worse. And everybody gets keyboard courage. Yeah? You would not believe how many times I hear, so-and-so said you should do this. Well, why didn't so-and-so come to tell me? You probably know why. Because I act like this sometimes. Okay? It's a living sacrifice to keep your mouth shut. And if you're going to open it, investigate a little bit before you run your mouth out. You make yourself look stupid. St. John Chrysostom. That's the living sacrifice. That's getting a grip every moment of every day and not doing the things we want to do. The big, huge things are like pretty easy. I was confronted with a room full of cash just laying there and I didn't take any of it. Okay, that's good. But it's the more mundane things that are extremely dangerous. It's difficult. It's sacrificial. But it's demanded of us. It pleases God because it proves that we are holy. We're separated. We don't do what the world does. We don't look at what the world does. We don't talk like the world. We don't talk as much as the world. This is our reasonable surface. And not reasonable as rational and logical, which it is, but reasonable. And I sent my son to die for you. I think it's reasonable that I ask you to step up and start acting like him because he's your example. It's demanding. I can't think of enough words to describe how hard it is. That's that whole sacrifice thing. It's not supposed to be easy. It's demanding. It's tough. It's burdensome. It's painful. Literally painful sometimes. Literally. It can be confusing. Not because God gives you confusing things to do. Because it confuses you. Because you don't get it. We're kind of in the good. Are we among, are we among friends here? With the gospel? Account yourself among St. Peter, who thought what he was saying was out of, and it was out of his love for the Savior, that it was not in conformity with God's will. Jeremiah, the first reading today, Jeremiah, one of the major prophets. We have three books in the Bible about Jeremiah. Three books. And if you were attentive, which I know you always are, the first reading today, what is Jeremiah? He said before the Lord, "You have deceived me, God. I'm deceived." He called God a liar, man. "You deceived me, God." Why is he saying that? Because he's confused. It's all get out. Why is he confused? Because we got three books in the Bible about this major prophet, and we don't know of one convert. Not one. I'm a prophet. I'm supposed to be converting people. I'm supposed to have the nation of Israel turn around and go back to God. And no, not one. In Jeremiah's mind, that's what a prophet's supposed to be. In the world's mind, the world would look at Jeremiah and go, "Man, you're a total loser. You need to go to some classes or something about evangelism because you ain't cutting it." That wasn't his job. It wasn't his vocation. He didn't get it. His vocation was, "Speak what I tell you to speak. I'll take care of the rest. You just do what I sent you." He did a good job, but for him, he was confused. I must not be doing a good job because from my perspective, it doesn't look like it's working. God give him the, "Shut up, Jeremiah, just keep doing what you're doing. You'll be Saint Jeremiah someday." It's hard and it's confusing, but it's necessary because it pleases God. It is our reasonable service to do these things. You are the body of Christ. He's in heaven right now making intercession for you and everybody else is going to go into heaven. That's what he's doing right now. He's left you here to be his mouth. You got to be like Jeremiah. Whether it looks like it's effective or not, you don't stop. You don't stop. It is your laudable service. The colic that started the day today, "Almighty God, of whose only gift it cometh, that thy willful people do unto thee true and laudable service." That's the only thing that you can give Jesus Christ. The only thing that you can give him is to live a life that is more and more transformed into the way he lived his life. The only thing. You give all your money to the church. Newsflash. It all belonged to God anyway. Okay? You ain't doing him any favors with stuff. It's important. Yeah, okay, right, but whatever. He wants you to live your life like Jesus. Yeah, it's hard. It's difficult, burdensome, painful, and all those other things. But he expects us to do it. And when you do it, why do we do it? Because when you do it, you're different. You stick out like a sore thumb. You will stick out in the world. Heck, if you adhere to Catholic teaching, you stick out like a sore thumb in a lot of Catholic churches now. Go up to communion and kneel down to receive it on your tongue and look at everyone. What the heck is that all about? Walk into there with a chapel veil on and look at how they crane their necks around. I talk about it, you know, I wear a cassock all the time. You know, I'm like priest meetings I get invited to, and I walk in, I get the holy eye roll. "Mr. Cassock." I always like, this is what they always say. "What are you trying to communicate with that?" You know very well what I'm trying to communicate with that. Something different than you. We're supposed to stick out like a sore thumb. And when we present the truths of the Catholic Church to people, you know, to stick out as a sore thumb, you start to make people mad. Okay, you make them mad when you tell them that abortion is a monstrous demonic crime. Okay, when you tell them that unnatural relationships are an abomination before God, where we don't think it's okay if a person has a disordered perception of their identity. Okay, when you start presenting that stuff, you start riling people up. Not to mention little things like the mortal sin of cohabitation or contraception. Yeah, mortal sins. I've never heard that before. That's my point. Why haven't you ever heard it before? What do you hear? You know, "Father, why don't we do that?" "Well, because that's controversial." No, it's not. Not one little bit, not one. Not an iota. It's not controversial. Well, yeah, it is. To the world, into Catholics who've conformed their life to the world. That's with whom it's controversial. It's not controversial amongst Catholics. The next time you hear a priest say something's controversial, flee. Just run. Because he's a conformist. You're going to stick out like a sore thumb? They're not going to like it. Let's ratchet up. It's not a matter of they're not going to like it. They're going to hate you. They're going to want to kill you. I mean, literally. Watch some YouTube videos of like this, some of these counter-demonstrator when people are praying the rosary outside of abortion mills. I'd kill you if I wouldn't go to jail. They mean it. They mean it. That's human nature. If something's different, kill it. I was at some park not too long ago and I was talking about with the first settlers that came down to Florida. It actually had a painting. These guys were on a boat and they saw a manatee. There were like four of them shooting with a rifle. Ah, it's different. We've never seen it. It's big. It's like, it's a manatee, dude. It's different. Kill it. I heard a comedian one time. I'm dating myself. That 1970s movie, E.T., the little terrestrial guy, the extraterrestrial dude that these kids find out in the yard and bring him into their house. And his comedian said, that movie is so fake. If some teenage, pre-teenage boys found something like that, they would kill it with sticks and rocks. Hey, kill it. Heck, you make them mad. Why? You don't conform. And if you're not going to conform to the world, heck, they might even do things like burn your church down. As if that could ever happen. We're not them. You're not supposed to be them. The Holy Spirit says, do not be like them. I will leave you with these words because he's better than me. Father Faber. Father Faber wrote a classic work on the sorrows of our Blessed Mother. And he's talking about the sorrow. He's talking about our Lord dying on the cross and our Blessed Mother. Is that the world cannot comprehend how the Blessed Mother could stand before the cross stoically and watch her son die as her heart was being ripped out in a more terrible way than any mother that ever watched a son die. How could you do that? Because he's different. That's why she wasn't in the fetal position before the cross. She wouldn't sit there sobbing uncontrollably. Most women wouldn't even bear to even think about being there. Although it's their son, they couldn't be. Why did she do it? Because she was different. She knew the will of God. As hard as it was to endure, she endured it because she was different. And Father Faber speaks of, you know, what it's like for us to be different. I quote, "The accepted truths of this world pass current in the world. The principles of the gospel do not. Hence, the world has its own way. It talks us down. It appeals to principles which are fundamental with most men, but are heresies to us. We are foreigners and must pay the penalty for being so. If we are misunderstood, we have no right to reckon on anything else, being as we are out of our own country. We are made to be laughed at. We shall be understood in heaven. Woe to those easygoing Christians whom the world can understand and will tolerate because it sees they have a mind to compromise." In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.